Praise the Lord, everybody. Happy Sabbath. Amen. I hear some happy Sabbaths. I hear some. Well, happy Sabbath, PMC. It is a privilege to be here delivering the message this morning. Thank you, Pastor Shane, for the invitation. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Thank you for joining us online, for those who are joining. My name is Haroni Gibbs, and I am the Youth and Outreach Director at Harbor Hope Church, just down the road. You guys know us, right? Okay, just down the road. And I believe God has placed a message in my heart this morning, and I pray and ask God for him to stir and move your hearts like never before. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much, Lord, for today. Thank you so much, God, just for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us so far. And I ask, Lord, right now that your presence will continue to be felt in this place, Lord, that your presence completely fills the atmosphere in this place, Lord, and even those that are watching online, be there as well with them. And I pray that we don't leave here how we came, but better. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so now let's get right to it, because I have a hope I could go on forever, but here, I'm pretty sure I got time. Okay, so let's open our Bibles to Matthew 5. All of us open our Bibles to Matthew 5. Okay, Matthew 5, 1 to 12. Now, this right here is that passage in the Bible where I always go to. Even if I wake up and I don't have something prepared or something like that, I don't have something planned to spend time with Jesus, but I know I have to spend time with Jesus. This is literally the text that I go to, that whole passage, because I know God will bless me every time I read it. And he does. Have you guys read it on your own? Matthew 5, yes? Yes, it's a big deal. So the whole Sermon on the Mount is meant to be to tell the ethical requirements for those who are to be and become the Christian church today. The Beatitudes begin the message with the eschatological rewards to those who follow what Jesus says. So basically, eternal blessings for those who develop these beautiful virtues. So the Beatitudes describe the character traits that represent believers living in this world, in a world that is completely against them. So let's read it. Matthew 5, verse 1 all the way through 12 again. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, Jesus, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth, taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, if you notice here, the people that Jesus is describing, those adjectives that he's talking about, it's not adjectives that are strong language. He's not saying, "Blessed are the warriors," right? Or "Blessed are the soldiers." He's not talking like that. It's not strong adjective words. He's saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek and gentle, those who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, peacemakers that don't incite violence, they spread peace. Then there are also those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." These are all character traits Jesus is sharing character traits that we should all have as children of God. These are character traits that are developed by a continual seeking and yearning after Jesus. The ethics of the Beatitudes is to develop these traits that can only happen through a close relationship with Jesus. Amen? Resulting in an eternal reward at the end. Ellen White says it different this way. I have a slide up. This is what she says. Christ leaves us in no doubt as to the traits of character that he will always recognize and bless. From the ambitious favorites of the world, he turns to those whom they disown, pronouncing all blessed who receive his light and life. To the poor in spirit, to the meek, to the lowly, to the sorrowful, the despised, the persecuted, he opens his arms of refuge, saying, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Jesus is talking to the crowd in front of him. He knows his audience. In this crowd, you have the meek, you have the lowly, you have the sorrowful, the persecuted, those that society completely disowned. Jesus is talking to them. It's as if Jesus is actually saying, blessed are all those who have been disowned by the world. Blessed are all those who have been disowned by the world. You need to understand that the moment that you decide to accept Jesus in your heart, you will be disowned by the world. Because a follower of Jesus is a blessed are you type of person. A follower of Jesus is a blessed are you type of person. The moment, again, you decide to have Jesus in your heart, you will be disowned by the world. I'm here to tell you that there are a lot of disowned souls in Benton Harbor today. There are a lot of blessed are yous in Benton Harbor. There are single mothers who are poor in spirit, recognizing their need for a savior. A mother that tells me, come to my house every day and pray for me because I know I need it. I know I need Jesus. I won't lie to you, Harony. I've been drinking, I've been messing up, but I know I need Jesus. Mothers pleading to me to come and pray for them every day. Do we still feel the need for Jesus? There are children mourning and grieving for the loss of their older brothers who have been killed due to gun violence. Children who tell me in Bible study, why does God have to forgive the one who killed my brother? How do you even answer that? Do we mourn for what sin is doing to this world today? Or do we just go about our day? Are we mourning? I'm not saying go walking around like crying all the time, but are we mourning? Is it affecting us in our hearts, in our personal hearts, in our hearts, in our lives, what sin is doing to this world, even if it's not touching me? There are babies who are meek and gentle, who quickly attach to you, to hug on you, and are eager to learn about Jesus. Every time we go out there, literally, they hold on to your leg. Like, trust me, they do that. And you're like, okay. But they're that eager to learn about Jesus. Are we meek and humble, or do we just fight to make sure we get an argument or win an argument today? Like, where is our heads, right? Are we still meek and humble to wanting to know about Jesus and meek and humble to others? There are teenagers who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. A group of kids yesterday ran to me on a table. We were doing outreach. And they were almost jumping the table because they wanted permission slips to sign, to get their parents to sign, for us to bring them to church today. They're actually coming to church today, amen. But they were like almost about to kill me because they're all up on me to grab on those permission slips. Are we still hungering and thirsting for righteousness like we did when we first heard the name, the sweet name of Jesus? Are we running to church like that? Are we like, I gotta go to church today? Like, are we doing that? Or are we just like dragging our feet? Do we have that today? I'm talking to myself too, trust me. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I'm talking to myself as well. Do we still have that? The blessed are you type of people are not that I'm talking about are not just in Benton Harbor, by the way. They are here too. They are in this sanctuary right now. They are you. Blessed are you sitting here right now. There are professors, staff, audiovisual team like Philip and Brittany who are merciful. These people are merciful, waiting for the last minute to hear from me for graphics and slides. Thank you. Thank you, team. Thank you. A big shout out to them because they go through a lot to get the stuff that they need from us who are up here. Okay? Thank you, team. Thank you, bro. Thank you, team. There are people who are professors who don't automatically fail a student when clearly the student is not doing what they're supposed to be doing in the first place. This is mercy. This is mercy. And I have to give a huge shout out to Daryl, one of our very own. He last night, right before midnight, prepared a video for me so quickly. That's mercy. That's mercy. Do we show mercy to others in our everyday life? Do we show mercy when we're driving on the road and someone is in front and clearly they're not supposed to be there because I'm supposed to be there because you just cut me out kind of thing? Are we merciful in that moment? Are we merciful when we go to Apple Valley and clearly somebody grabs something? I'm like, man, I really wanted that Sam chicken, but she got there first. Are we merciful? Like, you know what? You take the Sam chicken. It's okay. I don't know. Are we merciful? It starts with the smallest of things. It starts with the smallest of things. There are Andrews University members that run God's Abundant Pantry that I was blessed with when I was a grad student here. And also people that run the God's Hands for Kids, which I should put up. God's Hands for Kids. The people that run these things, these ministries, are pure in heart, who are self-sacrificing, humble, caring for those that need the most care, caring for students' families that are in need here locally, in need, and also caring for children who are in foster care. Are we being pure in heart, selfless, and thinking about the others first? There are social workers here, psychologists, pastors, lay members, elders, deacons, ministry leaders, Sabbath school teachers who are peacemakers in this community. Every time they get an opportunity to make peace, they do it to resolve a conflict. Are we spreading the peace in our personal lives? Are we okay with our sister or brother-in-law that we don't quite get along and I never want to hang out with or something? You know what I'm saying? Because we're clashing. Are we spreading peace instead of discord? Are we doing that in our personal lives? It starts with us. And then there is my special friend, Stacy. A woman of God. A blessed are you type of woman. Stacy Jones was born in Barren Springs on December 27, 1985. She was a wild child, I'll tell you. Adventurous. When she was about 8 or 9, she always wanted to go to grandma on the weekends because grandma would take her to church, and she loved church. Okay? At 8 or 9, she loved church. She valued education. Although she herself had a learning disability, which led some people to completely disregard her, a blessed are you type of woman who was disowned by some, but valued by so many. She valued education so much that she wanted her son, Tony, who's here today, to go to Great Lakes Adventist Academy, or any academy by the, on that matter, but it had to be Adventist, okay? Because she was very specific, it had to be Adventist. But she didn't have money at the time, so they couldn't do it. Stacy was one of those young people who attended the very first Bible study at Harbor of Hope. This is Stacy with Precious at Woman's Retreat. And this is a picture of one of the buses that used to leave Andrews University every Sabbath to go to Harbor of Hope on the weekends, on Sabbath, right? To pick up a lot of kids and take them everywhere. Stacy was one of those young people. One of those young people who was picked up to come to church. Stacy Jones was literally the longest standing member at Harbor of Hope. Crazy. She was. Stacy has been locked in since day one, years ago. Stacy got married at Harbor of Hope. Stacy had her children at Harbor of Hope. Stacy tragically lost her youngest child at Harbor of Hope, and she had her whole church family surrounding her. She will never stop saying thank you for that. Always, over and over again. She also got baptized, and she also got rebaptized, okay? She came to me in private and told me, hey, Harony, I really need to get rebaptized. And then I told her, I'm pretty sure, Stacy, that all you need is a communion service, you know, wash feet, you know what I'm saying? Nothing more than that. Let's talk. And then she was like, no, let's talk. And then we talked. And I was like, okay, let's get rebaptized. Let's get you rebaptized. We really had a whole Bible study on it. She knew her need for Christ. She recognized that. And every time if anyone didn't quite get that, she made sure they got it. And she said it louder and louder. Stacy loved Harbor of Hope. She was a rise up queen at Harbor of Hope. This is Harbor of Hope has a women's group called Rise of Queens who has completely transcended what a women's group typically is by providing a safe space for our women in our community. This is her finally sharing her testimony there. This is a big deal, guys. This was a big deal because she never really got to share her whole testimony. So it was a blessing that she did this. And she had Psalm 23 right in front of her because that was what carried her through. And it was a beautiful thing. And when she shared it, I was obviously all up on her like, girl, you got this. You got this. She loved it. She was like, this is great. I'm so excited for this opportunity. Every time that she had an opportunity to share, she was ready to do it. And this is our co-leader, Karima, who's present today. Okay, we were supporting her, and then we prayed over her. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Man, there will not be a Sabbath that went by without Stacy bugging me to make sure she had a ride to church. I'm telling you, not just for her, but the train of kids that were behind her, nephews, nieces, neighbors, whoever she picked up on the street, not like kidnapping, okay? But like literally she would talk to the parents like, okay, and they'll be like, yeah, totally, take our kids to church. And literally she would come and I would be set with Sabbath school because I knew Stacy brought this one and this one and this one and this one. It was amazing, amazing. Any event at church, she'll be like, Pastor Harony, you need to come get me. Send somebody, because I'm going to be there. You can count on me. It doesn't matter who's there. You can count on me, Harony. And I'm like, I know, girl. I know I could count on you. And she always bugged me to make sure that we went to the fair. Okay, this is us at the fair. And if you see and notice, towards the left, oh, he's cut off. But towards the left, we got Pastor Torres, and towards the right is me. We, both of us, are not even wearing our Harbor of Hope gear, okay? We're not repping Harbor of Hope at the fair. We should, okay? But we were not repping that. We're just, having fun. And then if you try to find the logo of our church, who has it? Stacy. She would rep Harbor of Hope everywhere she went, literally. She was a beautiful person. She was poor in spirit, recognizing her need for Christ. She was constantly mourning for the deaths of loved ones due to sin through gun violence. Stacy always asked for prayer. Always asked for prayer. I am saying always asked for prayer. Sometimes we will be in a fun environment or whatever, and in the midst of the fun, Stacy would come up to me and be like, I need prayer. Literally, like, I need prayer. I need prayer for my family, for my cousin, for my uncle, for my teacher. And then I was like, okay, and the whole mood shifts because she's asking for prayer, okay? We're like, ah, prayer. It's just different. It shifted. And sometimes I'm like, right now, I'm going to be honest, okay? Sometimes I'm like, really? Like, can we pray later? Literally, Stacy showed me and taught me what pouring spirit looks like. She taught me what prayer looks like in the midst of anything. Mourning. She taught me what mourning for what sin has caused into the world looked like. Stacy always hungered and thirsted for righteousness. Completed children's Bible studies with me. These studies were simple because the gospel is simple. She was humble and proud of completing the kids' Bible studies. So when I tell you that Stacy was locked into everything that had to do with God and Harbor Hope, she was locked in. 2 years ago, we started to really, as a church, spread peace and stop the violence in Benton Harbor. So we started the Stop the Violence tour. We were getting hit close. Our members were losing their loved ones due to gun violence. We have one of our very own loved young adults, King Vaughn, right now that we love, who is in jail right now, serving 20 years because of retaliation. Because he wanted revenge for his brother. And we're still in contact. And he knows what he did was wrong. And he repented. Praise the Lord. Because of all of that, we started the Stop the Violence tour, where we visited different housing complexes for a Sabbath stray and provided family Christ Center programs and activities. And it was a blessing. So last year was the continuation of that with Operation Safe Space, where Pastor Torres had the opportunity to present in City Hall and share the whole vision that if every church would adopt a housing complex or any area in the community where it was struggling with gun violence, we would have more peace and less violence. If every church, not just in Benton Harbor, everywhere, will adapt a place where they're struggling, where clearly sin is hitting them so hard at the door, and love on them, love on the people, love on the children, truly love on them how Jesus loved us, we will have more peace and less violence. So Harbor of Hope adopted 3 communities, Fairplane Village, or Village at Fairplane, Blossom Acres, aka Highland, and Berrien Homes. Stacy was from Berrien Homes, lived in Berrien Homes, and was part of the team that we call Shakers. These are some of our Shakers here. This is not all, okay? Because there's a whole bunch of them. We got Zoe here from Shakers. We got some other people. Lisa here from Shakers. We got Lorena, no, you're from Highland. Some other people are from Shakers, okay? Shaking up Berrien Homes for the kingdom of heaven. So she was on the registration team. She was present all the time, there all the time, literally. Whenever she wasn't going to be there, she will let me know. And then she'll let me know because she knows that I will tell everybody. Okay, so she'll make sure that people know. If I'm not there, we need to make sure that registration is taken care of. Stacy believed in spreading the peace in her community. She wanted a safer Berrien Homes for her, her family, and every family living there. So when we culminated Operation Safe Space last year, it was amazing. We served literally over 5,000 people, impacting the community through Christ Center, trauma-informed conflict resolution programming, giving coping mechanisms, emotional regulation through role-playing, pizza breathing. If you don't know what that is, talk to me later, I'll tell you. Stress balls, any literally teaching the kids in the community how to respond when someone comes at you and tries to fight you. That's what we're teaching. And at the end of our efforts, we are done, we're tired, but we're celebrating. And on August 5th, a Sabbath, it was time for Stacy to go home. And she had Tony with her, her oldest, who is here today. Shout out to Tony. Okay. And some of her nephews. And I believe it was RJ that she had that day. And RJ is the son of the brother that was killed. She came up to me outside and she was like, "Pastor Hadani, is Daryl going to take me home?" Because Daryl's our transportation director. And I was like, "Yeah," but I was in the middle of conversation. So I was like, "Okay, hold on a second, Daisy." She's like, "I need to go home because like we're tired and all this kids, you know." So I'm like, "No, I get you. I get you. Give me a second." And then we figured out, Daryl got ready. Everybody was trying to get ready into the car. But before she left, she was telling Tony about being careful going to high school because he was about to go to high school because the older kids pick up on the little kids, pick on the little kids. And Tony was laughing. I don't know if you remember that, Tony, but you were laughing at your mama. He was laughing. He was like, "That's not going to happen." And then I was like, "Bro, your mama right, bro." Meaning, brother, your mother is correct, right? So that's what I said. Okay? Literally, that was the last time I spoke with Stacy. The next morning, very early, August 6th, probably like 2 a.m., I was sleeping and I hear a loud smack on my door like this, literally, like this, consistently, like this. Consistently, and I was like sleeping, trying to. And then I woke up, and I'm like, "What is going on? Something is going on." And then Nate, my husband, wakes up and he tells me, as soon as I wake up, like, "I think something's gonna happen." For a second, I was like, "Okay, is this the end times? Like, I don't know what's gonna happen." And then Nate told me, "Henry just said that Stacy died." I was like, "What? Stacy, what? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Stacy died." He's like, "Yes. That just happened." And when I opened the door, it was one of our queens, Alize, who drove from Niles all the way to Bering Springs at like 2 a.m., hitting my door like something crazy happened, because something crazy did happen. Something crazy did happen. And she said, "Stacy was shot." I said, "What do you mean?" I just didn't comprehend what was being told to me at the moment. Stacy was home at 1 a.m. upstairs in the second floor of her house in Berrien Homes, doing nothing to nobody. And shooting started taking place outside, and bullets went through her house upstairs, and she got shot. She got caught in the crossfire of something she had nothing to do with. Why do the ones that didn't do nothing to nobody die? And the ones that are causing the violence stay alive? Those are good questions. But let us remember that we are in the middle of the great controversy. Good and evil are at war. Literally, there is a spiritual battlefield between demons and angels, and they are literally wanting to distract you even right now at your seats. And Revelation is so clear. The Lamb wins. The Lamb will win. Jesus wins. Ultimately, Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. Jesus wins. When Stacy was killed, I was extremely upset. I was terribly sad, but I was more upset. I was mad. You mean to tell me that after being out there for many days, pouring into the community, sharing the message of peace, praying with people, you're going to come and take one of our own? I was furious. I was enraged. I was full of wrath inside. I wanted to explode. And I cried because of the mixture of emotion, sadness, but more mad. Tears, because what can I do? What can I do? These are the people on the screen that are responsible for her killing. If you see, you can barely see them. What was the point of the picture? We can't see them. There is no justice. Who's going to get charged? There's no justice. I was mad. I was upset. More mad than sad. I was mad. So I prayed. And we held an all-day open house vigil at Harbor Hope that day and prayed, spent time with Jesus together, cried together. Then the thought came to my mind, and it said this: Hadoni, Stacy got shot and died at one of our adopted communities that we served in Operation Safe Space, spreading peace. And she died to the very thing that she was against. So what's the point? You should quit, because what's the point? And the thought continued, what's the point? One of your soldiers died in the battlefield. You're trying to win. Don't you get it? It's never going to change. The gun violence will continue. So what's the point? I pondered upon that question, and I considered it. I considered it, and I was like, But then God spoke, and God said to me very clearly, Hadoni, she didn't die for no reason. At that moment, I knew that the devil was the one that was trying to discourage me from our work of peace making in the community of Benton Harbor. Because blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called sons of God. It's not a one-time type of action, but a disposition of character, dare I say a virtue, that our Christian community needs to develop. Giving up on that development is exactly what the enemy of souls wants. The enemy, the devil, wants us to give up on developing the character, the virtue of being a peacemaker. That same week, we went to knock on doors back in Varian Homes. And this was the funeral. And after it happened, we went to knock on doors, all of us together, and the kids were waiting for us, just excited to have us there, to pray with them. And one of the mothers said to me, I will never forget this mother. We saw her yesterday. You guys are back here, even after Stacy died? I said, yes, we are. We're back here. We're not done here. We're going to continue to spread peace and share the plan of salvation to all. The mother was speechless and hugged me because she was so grateful for such a group of people who would be willing to show up and continue to spread the peace even after one of their own got killed. God kept talking to me and said, keep going, don't stop, peacemaker. Harbor of Hope, keep going. Keep going, don't stop. Harbor of Hope, keep going. Keisha, keep going. Zoe, keep going. Lorinda, keep going. John, keep going. Karima, keep going. Walter, keep going. James, keep going. Lisa, keep going. Igor, keep going. Henry, keep going. Tony, keep going. Oh, yeah. Harbor of Hope, keep going. Peacemakers, keep going. the fact that one of our own God killed means we have to keep going. Violence will not win. We will not be defeated. God will not be defeated. God is not defeated, period. So this year we continued Operation Safe Space, and we have a video for that. And we decided to go with one community. Can you guess which one? Berrien Homes. And although Stacy is not at the registration booth this time around, we will continue to spread peace and the message of salvation to all and empower young people to rise and lead through Christ. And this past week was literally our first week. We were there every single day. I'm tired, guys, okay? Literally every single day. And it was amazing. On the very first day, we had food prepared for 100 people, and we ran out. Pray for us. But God did the 5,000 and multiplied it because no one complained. So we're good, okay? That was the first day. And this summer, we are teaching them, guess what? The Beatitudes. And children and young youth are being blessed by it. The children and youth are learning the beauty of these virtues that we should have. And in order for us to continue with our efforts to reach the community and spread peace, we need your support. We need your support, not just here, but those online as well. We need your support. To have zero violence in Benton Harbor, we need to continue our work. We need you to be the blessed are yous to make this happen. Become a blessed are you type of person by developing the peacemaker character trait. You can make this happen by partnering with us, with Harbor of Hope. So this summer, when it came to choosing the community, we chose Berrien Homes not for no coincidence, right? But because you know it means, it means a lot to us. We will continue to spread peace in Berrien Homes in Benton Harbor. And you can join us in spreading peace and developing your peacemaker character trait by one, doing the following, praying and fasting. Pray and fast for us. Seriously, pray and fast for us. If you have not fasted before, start right now. Pray and fast for us. We need it. We need it. Also volunteering. We need people to volunteer. We're lacking Sabbath school teachers. We're lacking people that will sit with kids during service. We're lacking people for driving the vans to go pick up kids. We're lacking people to just be present to help with the kids. We're lacking people right now in Operation Safe Space. Please, if you see the code, look at it, register, take a picture, do whatever you can, talk to me after, whatever, and just come up to me. Okay, that's fine too. But we're lacking people. We're lacking manpower. And this is for you to be part of it. And then lastly, we will need financial support. And literally, I can make this program happen with $5, but a million is so much better. Okay? Seriously, if you believe in this work and you want to pour into it, we're here to receive it, okay? If you would like to donate anything, go to Adventist Giving and give on the Harbor Hope Rise Up Benton Harbor Fund. Rise Up Benton Harbor Fund, where we have so many programs to give the children, but we need the financial support. I believe God is talking to everyone here today. Even if you're a little kid, my prayer is that you respond to his call and for you to be a blessed are you follower of Christ and for you to be a peacemaker today. Thank you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for your words. We thank you for the Beatitudes. We thank you for the blessings that you have set upon us, God. And we ask, Lord, with our humble hearts right now, that you forgive us for our sins, anything that is inside of us that is unlike you, Lord, and that you help us and empower us to be the peacemakers that you want us to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen.